Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. In just a couple of minutes, the Ace Man is live from Nashville, Tennessee, presented by Live by Live. And stick around, because after the show, we are going to play for you, in its entirety, Chapter 1 from Adam's brand new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, Navigating Our All-Woke, No-Joke Culture. The audiobook and the Kindle and the hardcover are available today. Chapter 1 of the audiobook, coming up after today's live presentation.
Well, we're doing a big live event. I want to give a shout out to Live by Live for making it all possible. Caitlin Bristow's coming up in a second. That little firecracker, we'll have fun with her. First, LegalZoom. It's a new world out there, a lot of challenges. If you need legal help to overcome the setbacks and the prevailing winds of life out there, well, you're going to need LegalZoom. You're wondering the best way to protect yourself, your family, thinking about starting a business? Don't let legal questions hold you back. LegalZoom, they have the right solutions for, and they've been around for almost 20 years now, about over 19, so that's close to 20. Protect your family with a will or living trust. Start a business with your with a DBA, LLCs, or nonprofit. Mark Garagos, I was with him an hour ago, and he said, I use LegalZoom. He uses LegalZoom because it's faster and easier for him to do a lot of stuff. Not the part where he's got to spring one of his celebrities out of the pokey, but I'm talking about most of the nuts and bolts stuff. Get started online, and if you need guidance, they have a network of attorneys who can provide advice. It's LegalZoom, right, Dawson?
Visit LegalZoom.com today to take care of some important things you need to get done. That's LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. Streaming live from Zany's Comedy Nightclub in Nashville, Tennessee, courtesy of Live by Live, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, country music star John Rich, and the host of Podcast One's Off the Vine, Caitlin Bristow. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of Adam Carolla is unprepared. And now, read his book, you magnificent bastards, Adam Carolla!
Hey, thanks, you guys. Thank you. We got a lot of show planned for you tonight, although it's unclear whether we'll be able to execute that show or not, but it's planned, so I'll get my sound system worked out here. I was, I'm from L.A. I was just came out of L.A. yesterday, born and bred in Los Angeles, and I was walking around Nashville today, and I said to myself, not too shabby. Looks pretty nice. Pretty nice. Now, you understand, when you're from L.A., you're a fucking snob, right? So when you hear about people like, oh, you come from Idaho, oh, isn't that cute? I know Jay Leno. He lives up the street. So when we hear about the Nashvilles and the Idahos and the Denvers and the Salt Lake Cities and such, formerly, we would go, oh, that's sweet. I bet you're trying to make it out to L.A. Now everyone in L.A. is trying to make it out to Idaho. And here's how I know. So I was walking around just through Nashville down 11th Street, north and south. I've got a fucking story for that in a second. But walking around going, hey, this is pretty nice. And the chicks are pretty cute. And the buildings are tall. And everything looks pretty fucking clean. There's not barbed wire around all the freeway signs. There's not homeless encampments everywhere. And I didn't slip on hobo dookie. And this is not... this is not too shabby. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. When I was in Salt Lake City a few months ago, I was doing the exact same thing. I was going, hey, man, not too shabby. Where's all the graffiti? And when I was in Denver before that, I was going, not too shabby. And then I realized, wait a minute. It's not that you guys are not too shabby. It's that L.A. is a piece of shit. See, there's a pattern forming here, which is every time I leave L.A., I go, oh, hey, not too shabby. Like, I could probably fly to Beirut and be walking down the street going, not too shabby. I could say, how's the school system? I got a massage. So I booked myself a massage because in L.A., everything is closed down. And I'm like, I want to get a massage while I'm out here. So I booked myself a massage. I booked myself a massage on 400 North 11th Street. I, of course, got the Uber to drop me off at 400 South 11th Street, which meant I was just 8 miles away from where I had to get the massage 70 seconds before I was supposed to walk through the door. So there's nothing that sets you up for a massage like panicking and profusely sweating while running toward the masseuse. So I found out where the place was. I started chugging toward the masseuse. I did this move where it's like, I'm going to take a shower, and I'm going to clean my asshole out, and I'm going to be minty fresh for the masseuse. And then when I showed up, I was covered with fucking flop sweat and out of breath because I'd run 18 blocks. But I started, and when I walked in, I had the, do you guys book, when you book a massage? I'm from L.A., so it's like, I got to pretend like I don't care. You know, when they go, would you like a male or a female masseuse? I go, what do I care? I'm not uptight. I never thought about such things. Like, whatever you got, male, female, female, male. I don't care as long as they have huge areolas and a lot of fallopian tubing. I don't. Whatever, male, female, female, Asian, female, petite, twins, female, Asian. Whatever, just Asian, female, 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 whatever. I don't care, under 114 pounds. I don't care. Not a type. Whoever, as long as they're Asian twins under 115 pounds, like whatever. I don't. I got a dude. Dude from here. That dude, I couldn't understand a fucking word he said, so I knew he was from here. Sorry, but I don't speak Tennessean. And he was like, I was all sweaty and he got me on. Then we had to go over the rules because, right, it's just science, which is when you're on your back, you have to wear the mask. When you're on your stomach and your face is through the donut hole, you can drool onto the carpet without the mask. It's just good science, right? And by the way, that the massage table, I know that was invented by a woman. And the reason I know is it has the hole where your nose goes over here. Nothing in the middle. Let's be honest. If a dude invented that table, you wouldn't be mashing your junk into a piano hinge. You'd have a little air. The masseuse would just tactfully slide the cookie sheet underneath the table. I'm not saying you're going to use it. Saying, like, remember you had that stepdad that had the El Camino that dripped transmission fluid so your mom would slide the pan under it in the garage so it didn't fuck up the floor? That's all. So the guy's explaining the rules, which is basically you can, for sanitary reasons, you can lay on your belly and remove the mask. Well, by the way, the guy just slathers the pab all over you and drops a digit in your asshole. It's like, are you, really? This is science? You have your thumb up my ass and I got to have a mask on? So the guy was giving me the rub down. I don't know. I thought about this. I don't know. Can we be honest, fellas? Let's see if we can be honest here for a second. They always do that question where they go, how's the pressure? You know, they're like working their knee in your guts. And you're like, they're like, how's the pressure? And you can never answer honestly, right? Because the honest answer is which pressure? The pressure not to fart? Because that's at about a 10 right now. I've never been nude this long and not farted. This is an indoor record for me. Normally the farting starts when the fucking shorts drop, but okay, it's been 37 minutes without a fart. But the other pressure is not to roll over with a boner. And look, I'm not that gay, but I was going to say I'm not gay, but let's be clear. I may be a little bit gay, but the point is there's a chance I could get a boner. I don't care if this fucking volunteer is rubbing my shit every which way to Sunday. He ain't attractive. I could still possibly roll over with a boner. I'm just putting it out there. You're good looking, right? Okay. By the way, go ahead and own it. Yeah, I know. I don't like it. You know, I hate the answer. You know, when people go, are you good looking? And you go, well, I don't know, but everyone says I'm hot. That means you're good looking. Just say you're hot. You know what I mean? Just fucking own it. You're hot, right? And by the way, if everyone says you're hot, then you're fucking hot. Who cares what you think of you? I think I'm a steaming pile of shit, but the world thinks I'm hot, so be it. Maybe Sofia Vergara thinks she's a fucking troll, but everyone else wants to fuck her, and that's all. All right, so you're good looking, right? Yeah, okay. Right, we're both hot. I get it. I'm going to bump draft you in the hot department. Yeah, we're hot. We get it. People desire us. Okay, fine. When you get a massage, do you want a guy or a girl, or you, who is the fiancé or husband of the hot person, do you want some dude putting his greasy, slimy hands all over your hot piece of ass wife, or do you have a choice?
Doesn't matter.
Good answer, liar. Doesn't matter. By the way, if it was another hot chick, rubbing her down, you'd start beating off. What are you talking about? Doesn't matter. There's very high stakes here. Don't give me the doesn't matter. Now, what if a chick or a dude is rubbing him down? Doesn't matter either. Oh, look at the beautiful people with no opinions. It must be nice to be hot and have no opinions about anything. What do you like, the regular calamari or the deep fried? Doesn't matter, I'm hot. You into Indy or NASCAR? Who cares, I'm hot. You don't care if some strange 23-year-old dude is putting his lathered up greasy hands all over this beautiful woman's body? Okay, I am putting it that way. I like when people go, if you put it that way. I just put it that way. It's already done. You'd want a girl, right? I got to tell you, I always request a chick. Today I got the dude. The steady, firm hand of a man can be quite pleasing. I'm not. Maybe this is just the Hollywood in me talking, but I felt the warm but confident caress of that guy, and I kind of turned the corner on that massage. I gotta be honest with you. All right, so you're hot. You're rich. What's going on with you? There's something. Something's going on with you. See, it's either going to be hot and hot, or hot and rich, or hot and old and rich. You know what I mean? Like, there's a combo. There's an algorithm here that's not really lining up. But okay. All right, so we got hot and rich over there coming up. Should we bring Caitlin Bristow out? Should we do that? Should we? I want to talk to Caitlin. Caitlin's hot.
I feel like people are like, "Who the fuck is this girl?" Do you guys even watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette? A couple of the wives.
I watch it. That's where you know Caitlin from. What about massages for you? Do you prefer a man?
I'm one of those hot people with no opinions. Mm. Yeah, I don't care.
I love that.
Yeah.
They should have a convention for hot people with no opinions, you know. And I could do a corporate gig there and clean up. So you don't care for you
or my boyfriend.
Just you're that evolved.
Well, yeah, because I mean, are they ever really hot rubbing him down?
Listen, there is an entire genre of porn.
Yeah, that's porn.
Well, yeah, but it didn't start as porn. It started, look, you do reality shows. You understand.
Right.
It started off as reality, and it morphed into porn. And all I'm saying is that could easily morph into porn.
Oh, yeah, you are hot.
If one of those guys was rubbing you out. So you don't care.
No.
And if we were a couple, you wouldn't care if the lady rubbed me down.
Define rub down, like just giving you a normal massage, or are we talking rub and tug here?
Well, I'll care.
Do I sit or stand? What are we doing here?
You could sit.
Okay.
It is, I will not rest until we switch it from rub and tug to tug and rub. I would like to tug at the beginning, and then I'd like to just chillax.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Just let the world melt away.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not the anticipation of the tug. You know what I mean? Is it time to turn
over?
Yeah. Is there something going? Is the bandana hanging out of the towel the right way?
Am I sending some weird porn
messages? All right. what I'm saying is, all right. How do you feel about lap dances? Because In the world where you have no thoughts about the massage, the dude is nude and he's oiled up and she's got her hands all over the dude. What about the same fella getting a lap dance?
Okay, but here's the thing. You're talking to me. I'm about to turn 35. 25 me, I would have had a hissy fit.
Right.
I would have lost my mind. Now I'm like, get it.
Mm. This is going to sound weird, but what would the 5-year-old version of you think? Let her answer.
I don't think she would know what she's talking about.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Safe. Good answer. Yeah. Probably weird for me to ask, but I thought we were just kind of going down chronologically.
I mean, that was a big jump.
Yeah, it was a big jump. I should have went to 15. You're right.
Yeah.
I was out of line. I crossed the line.
Yeah, it got weird.
All right, so you don't, and is there any, as a woman, is there any sexual gratification from a good massage? Like, what if the guy...
No.
Well, what if the guy's name is, like, Umberto? And he comes in, and he's good-looking, and he looks like a soccer player.
I'd just be like, ooh, this is nice, but I'm not, like, turned on.
Not turned on?
No.
What about you, fellow hot chick? No.
I do.
Oh, a hot chick. Oh. Would a hot chick, would that move your needle?
It would do more than me than Roberto.
Really?
Yeah.
It's Umberto. But
sorry.
It doesn't matter. He gets pissed when you call him Roberto.
Oh, sorry, Umberto.
Well, don't apologize to me. Apologize to him. Okay. So actually, a woman.
Well, I think we can all, whether you want to admit it or not, appreciate a woman's beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Women
are beautiful.
Yeah, I'm willing
to
admit
gross.
That. No, I know. Just the ball sack alone is a deal breaker.
It's not appealing.
Yeah, you know, the ball sack should really be like on the small of the back. You know, it shouldn't be front and center. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it shouldn't be like right up front. You know what I mean? Like, hey,
just tucked away a little bit back there.
I'd like you to touch my dick, but his super ugly hairy cousin is right underneath him. You have to kind of navigate that.
Yeah.
No, the ball sack, a ball sack should be on the back part of your scalp, and you should just put a ball cap on, right?
Yeah, cover it up a little bit.
Yeah, because it's right there.
Yeah, I agree. Like, ladies, ball sacks aren't cute. No.
No.
Sorry.
No, no. No, like, when Michael J. Fox was 11, his ball sack wasn't cute. I'm saying they're no cute. No, I'm not, I don't have pictures of it. I'm saying there's no such thing as a cute ball sack. You can't get cuter than Michael J. Fox.
Right, we didn't need that example. We know it's not cute.
Wait a minute. Is this the 5-year-old version of yourself talking, or is this the 35?
15.
15. Yeah. All right. Let's keep it up. So the ball sack shouldn't be where it is,
mm-hmm.
because what you're saying is basically, I would like a blowjob, but your ball sack is right here. So it's like you saying, let's have a picnic next to the dumpster.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I'm not in the mood for a picnic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like a playground next to a sewage.
Let's get to a park,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
right, so that's it makes the blowjob a tough sell. You're right. If we could get the ball sack to the small of the neck or the back, you know, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Then that would be a better way. Now, it'd suck when you went to the barber because that poor chick would be like, do you want it round or square? Oh, God damn, with the ball sack. You know what I mean?
She has to work around it, yeah.
And the masseuse would be a tough putt with that ball sack right on the small of the back.
Look, I can't wait to go home. And my boyfriend's a big fan, by the way. He's going to be like, what would you guys talk about? I'm going to be like, ball sacks and inappropriate massages and thinking about it at 5 years old.
Well, this ain't a book club, Missy. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm into it. I didn't say I didn't like it.
Maybe the ball sack.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to do like 28 more minutes on ball sacks, and then we're going to move on.
I'll have a
drink. We're going to move on. But maybe the objection to a lot of the happy groin action for the ladies, maybe the ball sack, maybe it's the picnic by the dumpster, you know, scenario. Maybe it's that metaphor.
Right.
Maybe if we could get to the ball sack, maybe we get that move to the small of the back.
Okay.
And then just go ahead and put a Crown Royal sack on it.
Oh.
I think we'd be in business. Am I right? A lot of knowing nods. A lot of knowing nods from the front row. A lot of almost no knowing nods coming from the front row. Just a lot of, what the fuck are you talking about, you Brillo head?
Yeah, there you, oh, she gets it.
What do you get?
She said the drawstring. Yeah, she gets it.
Drawstring on the ball sack?
Nice.
And then cut it off.
Nice.
All right.
Purple velvet. Yep, I see what you're saying. I like
it. All right. Do we have, let's see, I think we have Gina Grad and Bald Brian who are coming to us via Skype. Hi, guys.
Oh, hey.
Do you want to keep the hot massage talk going? Gina, you're a hot chick. Do you care?
Thank you.
Do you care if a woman or a male massages you? And do you have thoughts about your significant other?
I do. I never cared at all until a guy on Larchmont that's here in Los Angeles basically penetrated me during a Groupon massage. And then I thought, you know, that's, you get what you pay for, Groupon. Point taken. So, yeah, I don't...
Pointer taken.
Hey, ring finger taken.
Gina,
so
I'm
not as down as I used to be, and the fiancé, not into it.
Not into massages at all.
Not into me getting a massage from Umberto.
Yeah. Can we... let's drill down on the guy drilling down on you.
Okay.
What classifies penetration? What went on? Digitation? Press the digitation? What...
There's only one definition, Adam.
Well, I mean...
Let's put it this way. He was basically playing chicken with my innards.
Oh, really?
And I think he was waiting for me to say something, and I was so shocked that I just walked out in a daze, and I thought, well, massage guy one, Gina zero.
Why
I'm
are you
so
not suing
shocked.
Him?
Because, don't blame the victim.
How dare you, victim shame. Caitlin, she was rubbing plugged, and you blame her? The innocent victim of a rubbing plug?
No, I just want you to get some money out of it.
Oh, honey, me too. But again, this was Groupon, so I feel like for 15 bucks, what did I expect?
You're right. That's fair. Touche.
Brian, any thoughts? Christy and you, male, female, sex of the masseuse?
Adam, you said earlier to own it, and I'll just admit it. I am not hot. And I have thoughts. Yeah, I have thoughts. Female for me and female for my wife.
Yeah, I like that. Old school. Sorry. I appreciate it, being honest. Caitlin, Let's talk a little Bachelor and a Bachelorette. And then somebody told me that you were at Mike August's Bachelor or Bachelor Party.
Okay, we need to talk about this. You brought it up. I partied with you like 10 years ago. I really did. It was in Vancouver.
Right.
It was Mike's Bachelor Party.
Mike August right over there.
It was you, Kimmel.
Kimmel.
Who else was there? I'm blanking on somebody else.
Maybe
Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross, who's on the wall with a full head of hair.
Oh, so yeah, look at him.
Picture was taken in 1987.
Yeah, old school. You guys were all in Vancouver for a bachelor party, and I was serving you, and I ended up drinking and hanging out with you guys, and I asked Jeff Ross to roast me. I don't know if you remember this. Probably not.
Yeah.
It was blurry, but I was like, oh my gosh, can you roast me? Like 25-year-old Caitlin. And he goes, well, fuck, real career woman, hey, working serving restaurant, table serving. I'm like, okay, that was rude, which is what roasting's about. And I said, well, I also have a side job. I nanny for a little boy. And he said, well, if you were my nanny, I'd suck my fucking thumb till I was 45. And I was like, thank you. Yeah. Anyways, and that whole night we hung out, and it was again a blur, but my sister went into labor that night and I had to leave during our party and left. And the next time I saw Kimmel was on The Bachelor. He was on one of my dates.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I called him up I was on The Bachelor, and The Bachelor had me for a one-on-one date. Kimmel was he crashed our date. And we were grilling, and I said, Jimmy, like, do you remember? And he was like, what? And I was like, we got really drunk that one night, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, my God, Caitlin, I threw up, like, 30 minutes after you left that night. That's so, like, what are the chances that here we are now? So, yeah, full circle to be here now with you.
Yeah. It's,
He's like, I have zero recollection
of
you.
No, I do. I remember we're down in a restaurant. We're in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I was putting the moves on Caitlin. She's like, my sister's gone. And she's dilated.
She actually never had kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But normally I get that excuse a lot. You know what I mean? When I'm talking to a lady.
That their sister goes into labor?
Yeah, I do. So I got to be honest. I owe you an apology. I didn't believe you. I thought you were just trying to get out of the restaurant.
I was.
Yeah. I don't know why this struck me, but I hate L.A., and L.A. is so goddamn expensive, and I had this thing. We went to Martin's Barbecue today to get some brisket. Yeah, and when we were in the parking lot, they had a sign that said, handicap parking only, fine, $50. $50 was the fine. So in Los Angeles, it's $300 and they confiscate your car and they give you a rub and plug and $50. Like, honestly, if you were going to the Coliseum to see a Rams game or a USC game and it was $50 fine for parking in the
handicap,
you would park in the handicap in Los Angeles.
Would you feel good about it, though?
I would feel excellent about it. I feel better than good about it. No, but what's up? Like, do you guys not value your handicap like we do in L.A., or is it just part of a grift to get more money from the citizens? Because our handicap are worth like six times what your gimps are worth.
Yeah, but look at everything in this state compared to California. It's everything's much cheaper, houses, everything. So I feel like that maybe is my excuse.
I still feel like you don't put a good street value on your handicap, people.
Take it up with the mayor. Let's do this.
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to collect a bunch of your handicap people.
Okay.
I'm going to bring them back to L.A. and sell them and turn a tidy profit.
Yeah.
Yes.
That escalated.
I am.
Quickly.
No, I'm sorry. That's my new business, importing gray market handicap people.
Good luck
from
to you.
Tennessee.
Yeah, okay.
That's how I'm going to make my money.
A
yes,
businessman
Brian.
Right here.
You're flying home on Southwest. Bags fly free.
That's right. Overhead. Good thinking. In the duffel bag, Gimp. Here we go. Gonna turn a profit. Never thought about it, but that's my new job. You know, when people say to me, what business are you in, Corolla? I'm in the import business.
Import-export.
Yeah. Just import.
I think I'm a high roller.
You might lose your podcast, but...
I don't know.
Dabble in some light human trafficking.
Hey, Adam.
Yes.
Hey, speaking of podcasts, can I clear something up from before we were on? We were listening in the background before you were on. Caitlin, hi, Caitlin. How are you?
Good,
nice to meet you. You have a boyfriend who's supposedly a big fan of Adam or the Adam Carolla Show,
yes.
Allegedly.
His
girlfriend's on his favorite podcast, and he presumably lives in Nashville. And he can't be bothered to be in the audience.
Yeah, where is he?
You know what? He wanted to come. It's his mom's 60th birthday, and they had a family Zoom. Yeah.
Sure. The delivery of the sister, the birthday.
His mom has Wi-Fi. There's Wi-Fi in the green room.
His mom's giving birth to a 28-year-old.
That's right.
Couldn't be here. Yeah. Sorry.
Wait a minute. His mom's 60?
Yeah.
What's he, 19?
He's 31.
31.
Yeah.
Oh, robbing the cradle.
Yeah.
Better than robbing the grave.
That's a fair statement. I'm 34, as long as they're over 30, and I'm okay with being a cougar.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's young, he's hot.
He's young and he's hot. Does he know he's hot like we do, like we own it over here?
He gets it.
He gets it.
Yeah.
He understands.
He's humble
on the
about it, though.
Right?
Yeah, he was also on The Bachelorette. God. Apparently, I like Bachelor guys.
Mm-hmm.
Dated a few of them.
Right.
And then he was on another season of The Bachelorette, and it escalated, and here we are.
And what's he do besides reality TV shows?
So he was nominated to go on. He has his MBA in finance, and he was a banker in Seattle for a long time. And he is not the type of guy to go on reality TV, and it was hilarious to watch him because all the producers were like, he's really boring because he's just smart and you know, doesn't fall for their stuff like
right.
I do. But yeah, so he's doing still that stuff now.
Financial stuff.
Yeah.
And you said fall for that stuff. Like, I've been on some reality shows. You know, sometimes they cook them. Did Celebrity Apprentice and, you know, Dancing with the Stars and these kinds of shows. And I
you did Dancing with the Stars?
I did. Otherwise, I'd be a huge douche and a liar if I was like, I was on Dancing with the Stars.
You and Jeffrey Ross.
Yeah, that would be a weird lie.
Also,
and his partner was
pretty
Julianne
verifiable,
Huff.
Too. Like,
I could Google it. Yeah, I believe you. I believe you.
Yeah, I was. And they try to cook things sometimes, you know, manipulate you a little bit.
It's a business.
Did they do that with you on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette?
Yeah, but I was down with it at the same time. Like, I was like, well, I want to make good TV and a good season. So I, like, played their game and mm-hmm. went along with it. But... yeah.
Were there real feelings? I could imagine there's
yes.
real feelings.
I mean, there were forced feelings, there were fake feelings, and there were real feelings.
But, like, yeah, I've been on stage for, like, 39 minutes, and I have real feelings for this one right now. This is not... No, I'm sorry. This is real, people. You don't know what we have. You guys wish you had what we have. You don't have it.
So she's I nodding understand. Her head, too. She's like, yes, you do.
It can be a proximity thing. It doesn't take that long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And she's not even being produced.
No, I know.
This is
I'm
a
saying,
genuine
what's,
connection
what's going
right
on here.
Here
is real.
Get a rose.
I'm uncomfortable. I feel the tension between
you guys.
Yeah,
there's a lot of tension here. It's a
the
boyfriend's sexual tension.
Are you a boyfriend or husband?
Boyfriend.
Just hanging on so tight to her hand right now.
Right.
Like, That's so funny.
Sorry. So there were real feelings.
Yeah.
There were.
Well, I was engaged after it for 3.5 years. That's got to be something.
Right. To someone you had real feelings for. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Now, what happens? Sorry for getting personal, but you know that's what you do.
Oh, fantasy
right?
suites.
You're engaged for 3.5 years. Why'd you break it off?
Because he couldn't get over the fantasy suites.
The fantasy suite?
Oh, I thought that's what you were asking.
Oh, no, I want to hear about the fantasy
suite. Oh, okay.
Suite.
We broke it
Gina
off.
Gina knows.
Yeah.
What happened?
Go ahead. This is fascinating.
Okay.
Fantasy
suite. Well, I was just trying to be funny. That's not why we broke up. Fantasy suites is when you go from on TV to off TV. You have an overnight date, and everyone just assumes it's the bound chicka wow wow, mm-hmm. which it is.
It's like a glamorous conjugal visit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's... It's like 10 hours of uninterrupted time overnight with a lot of champagne. Mm-hmm. A lot of massages.
Right.
So...
Scrabble.
Yeah, right. And so during the season, obviously you are dating 25 men, and that's not usually easy on the person you pick, because then you got to watch it back, and then you're like, oh, you had sex with somebody else, what
right.
the hell?
Right.
And then that whole thing, and then 3.5 years later, we decide we can't still get over it. So that's okay.
No, I get it.
I don't think I'd be able to get over it if I'm being honest.
No, it's a thing. The only... Like, honestly, like, we all remember, I don't know if everyone is this way, but, like, when you were dating and you were 27 and you're, like, obsessed with the old boyfriend or the old girlfriend, and the only thing that's good about getting ready to die is you just, like, I could walk in and this guy could be balls deep in my wife, and I'd be like, hey, man, you got to kick your Crocs off when you come in because of the whole... My daughter's freaked out about this whole COVID-19 thing. So, and dude, if you're going to fuck my wife, you should take your Crocs off. They should at least be fine by the side of the bed, but they should really be by the door.
Yeah, so you worry about other things.
I'm just going to go ahead and remove them for you. No, don't stop. I'll just pull the Crocs off. I'm going to Purell those things. I'll put them by the door. I'll face them toward Mecca. When you're done, you're done. I'm going to be watching SportsCenter. Johnsonville is sponsoring a cornhole competition. I'm going to be watching that. So, hey, you want to come down and watch with me during the refractory period? Like, that's cool. So you kind of mellow out a little as your prostate starts to enlarge, and you just kind of, testosterone
Relatable,
goes down.
Yeah.
But, like, we could all remember, I'm guessing, that, like, 26-year-old version of us. Remember the yearbook? Like, remember you'd get the yearbook, like, the hide and seek that's circled with the heart. You're like, oh,
that
was your boyfriend, and that's the love letters and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Hard to get over.
Yeah. I mean, everything you just said, yes.
Yes, but for you, it was documented.
Yes, and then replayed, and then always... Do you guys know who Billy Bush is?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
He was the one that, like...
Why, that guy never made the news. What did he do? Is he in the Anheuser-Busch family or something?
No. You went to high school with him.
I like to pretend we don't, but he was the one that we did an interview and we're trying to be like this happy, engaged couple. Let's do this media rounds. And Billy Bush was like... Sean, how are you going to get over this? She had sex with another man. Like, I would not. And I was like, shut up, Billy.
Right.
We're trying to move past that. But it just kept coming to the forefront of everything, every interview. And then 3.5 years later, it was still a thing. So
Was it sex with another man?
Or? Yes. What?
But not...
Someone goes, oh, it was, yeah.
But not multiple other men.
Right. One specific human.
One. And it couldn't get past the one guy.
No, unfortunately.
Why didn't you lie? You can lie, right?
Let me tell you, I thought about it.
You should lie.
No, the truth always comes...
Everyone encourages you not to lie, but you should lie.
I hear you, and I respect that, but I knew this was, again, on national television. I can't lie. So I sat him down and told him, and of course on TV it was all fine, but afterwards it was not.
Right. Now
they're bored.
Now he's with a porn star.
Probably.
Well, what are you gonna do? Like, find a newborn, raise her like veal until she's 18, and then make her your wife? Like, who? You don't think people are fucking all over the place on a futon as we speak?
P.S.
You had the dignity to fuck on TV.
P.S.
You should
be
happy.
Bachelor. You're on The Bachelorette.
What the fuck? I mean, of course the fuck. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, thank you. I wish you could have been our therapist.
I would have proudly stood with you
thank
laying
you.
On your back. All right. Kalen Bristow, everyone. The podcast Off the Vine on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast
Thank
One
you.
As well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Kalen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And we'll bring in John Rich. Will make his way out. I'm going to do a commercial. Sorry, it's a live podcast. I got to do a live commercial. Yeah. Yeah, you'll get over it. Live Lock. April 15th, the tax deadline has been kicked back to July 15th, but the extension gives more time to hackers who are trying to get your data and sell it online. Everyone's online with all their information. They're buying everything. They're getting all the food and all the Amazon and everything. But your info is out there, and you need to protect it. You need a little insurance. You need LifeLock. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info at risk on the internet. Cybercriminals keep finding new ways to steal your information and sell it on the dark web, so you need to protect yourself with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
All right, John Rich, Big and Rich. You guys love Big and Rich? John Rich is going to come out and join us as we speak. Hi, John. Good to see you, my friend. Have yourself a seat.
I know you're
going to play a song for us tonight.
Whatever you want, man. Thanks for having me on.
I know you're pissed off because your son plays baseball and they canceled the season or something. What's going on?
Well, Nashville, we have this mayor. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, you can't enjoy what he's doing right now to our town. So, so I got two sons that are 8 and 10. They both play Little League Baseball. They've been quarantined out of school since the middle of March. Right. Looking forward to baseball. You buy the uniforms, you buy the cleats, you go to practice, you get ready to play baseball. Today was supposed to be the first game because it got pushed late, right?
Right.
And so the mayor says 2 days ago, I'm sorry, there can't be any baseball games for the kids in Nashville. It's just too dangerous. As you're driving by the packed out Walmart and Home Depot and Target and right. every other store out there where everybody's like animals piled on top of each other. But what do I tell my 8-year-old son? I'm sorry, buddy. Take your cleats back off. The mayor of Nashville won't let you play baseball. Well, and by the way, in 2 weeks, he's going to yank our taxes up 32%. After a tornado and riots and COVID-19, now I'm going to yank your taxes 32%. So that's what's going on in Nashville right now.
No,
we needed a laugh. Do we not need a laugh? We needed Adam to come to our town.
Well,
we needed it.
Thank you. First things first, I cannot stand the randomness of this, like, non-science. You know what I mean? The protesters are taken to the street by the thousands, arm in arm, the Kmart, the Walmart, all these places, all filled. And then baseball, and I like the idea. Like, remember a few weeks ago, they were talking about tennis. And like, you can play tennis, but you can't play doubles tennis. But you got to keep an open court in between you two.
And don't touch other people's balls.
Don't touch other people's balls.
Never do that. Never do that.
So, baseball, by the way, that's socially distanced, right?
I mean, it's outside. It's 90 degrees in the broad sunlight today in Nashville. You're talking about 8-year-old kids. The parents are all like, fine, we'll put our chairs around the edge of the fences. We'll stay apart. Can our kids please play baseball? But you know what's happening is all the teams are going to the counties that border Davidson County, which is Nashville, and their ball fields are packed. Hendersonville, Brentwood, Murfreesboro, Nolensville. You go just outside of Nashville, there's baseball happening everywhere. So COVID-19 will kill you in Davidson County, but it won't kill you in Hendersonville.
Right.
That's how stupid our mayor is right now.
But couldn't we do a thing where, like, the shortstop had a ball in a Ziploc bag filled with Purell next to him, and we're like, he got the hot grounder. Instead of throwing that ball to first base, he'd grab the Purell dip ball. You know, it's just science, people.
Listen, I own a business downtown in Nashville called Redneck Riviera. It's a big bar at Broadway and 3rd Avenue. It's right there on the Strip. And bricks went through my windows. Everything got smashed and everything got tore up. I'm more upset about my 8-year-old not being able to hit a baseball today than I am about that. That is straight up bullshit with this mayor's
doing. I agree. I don't. You know why? Because I think, hold on, I'm standing up because I'm angry.
I'm sitting down because I'm angry. If I stand up, that's a different level.
Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the stuff that makes sense, I don't think anyone has a problem with. When you hear about, you know, social distancing or wear a mask or we don't know enough or we don't have enough data, we're all good little soldiers. We're good little Americans. We don't want to have this thing spread to our neighbors or to our parents or grandparents or school teachers. We get it. When they start doing the shit that feels random and punitive, when they start doing the shit that just feels like them punishing us because they can, because they have their thumb on us and they get to make the decisions that we have to obey, that's the part where, as Americans, we push back. When they start doing this shit where it's like, you can go to the beach, but you gotta stay in the water. But then when you get off the water, you gotta put the sand on. You put sand in your mouth. You take the mask, fill it full of sand. Take that sand. If you're going to jog, take the mask, fill it full of sand, put the mask on, breathe the sand. You can breathe the sand. You can't put the towel down. Well, you can put the towel down if it's a floral print, but if it's striped, you can't do it. And we can't have you laying around the beach. Now, we can have you out on the buoys if you want to. If you want to go over there, want to dry hump a dolphin, go ahead and do that. Now, we can. You can walk on the sand. When you pass a lifeguard shack, you gotta go around it twice. Gotta say "Ali oxen free." Then we'll go. I'll permit that. So it sounds like you're just trying to fucking manipulate us. This baseball thing sounds like a zero burger. There's so many bigger fish to fry. It's not based in science. And what pisses us off, again, as people who are willing to play by the rules, this just feels random, arbitrary, and it sounds like they're fucking with us and exercising their power.
So let me make a first of all, amen from a southern way. Amen, brother.
Thank you.
To what you just said. You know, remember we all learned in elementary school about taxation without representation. All the things the British were doing to the colonies that pissed them off so bad that they went, "We're going to have a Boston Tea Party. We're going to fight you with everything we got." No, no, no. And they kept busting back. To your point, yes, you will follow the rules when it's common sense and it's, yes, that makes total sense. We start picking and choosing when the rules apply and who they apply to. And then you start putting it down on our kids. That's when it starts to get to a level with guys like probably all of us in this room are going, "Don't mess with my kid's baseball team right now." You know what I mean?
Right.
That might sound simple. It's
right.
Not really simple. That's a big deal to me.
Now,
you know, that our kids, we pay taxes in this town. We're about to pay 32% more taxes if he gets his way. I mean, what kind of mayor lets a tornado rip the hell out of the city? Then here comes COVID. Then here come rioters and looters smashing up our downtown and setting our Capitol on fire. And then 2 weeks from now, Adam, he's wanting to pass a 32% property tax increase on everybody that lives here. That's not Democrat or Republican. That's everybody that's going to go through that one. I find that to be piling on, and I find it to be inhumane, and I hope he backs up.
Well, I do too. And here's the thing. I don't know if the mayor's watching, but look, if you want to take away...
It's coming on next.
If you want to take away...
Maybe he'll see the clip.
I'm talking to Karen. If you want to take away youth soccer, by all means, go right ahead. Knock yourself out. I wish you outlawed that shit 6 years ago. But you start fucking with this man's Pony League baseball, we got an issue.
Well, I hope you guys are having a good time. I know you are. And John's great, so we'll enjoy his song stylings and conversations in a second. I want to thank once again Live by Live for making this possible. And first, Stamps.com. You want to avoid crowds these days? Well, avoid the post office. There's crowds there. Stamps.com. I've used Stamps.com. We've used Stamps.com for over a decade. Ever since we started, they were one of the first sponsors for this show, and then we've always used them. We're sending out merch, books, paperwork. Whether you're a small business sending invoices or an online seller shipping products or just working from home, you can just use this if you're a civilian working from home. Stamps.com lets you buy and print official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, 24/7, and do it from the comfort and security of your own home or your own business. 5 cents off every first class stamp, and up to 40% off shipping rates, and now up to 62% discounts on UPS services. They got a special trial. It's a 4-week trial. Plus, you get free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitment. Just click on the microphone. Go to stamps.com. Click on the microphone. Top of the homepage. Type in Adam and get all the savings. That's stamps.com. Enter Adam.
Were you going to do a song for us?
I can do whatever you want, man. Is there a?
I think Michael helped. Now,
yeah, I mean, you're in Nashville. We got to sing a
country
song.
Here's how good John is. I said, well, what song does he want to do? And John said, well, whatever song you want. Whatever song.
Whatever.
He's got a million songs. But
do you know any country music?
Oh, yeah.
Like
I know.
What? Like what? Right? That's a good question. Like
I'll
what?
Tell you. All right. I'm going to sound like an asshole. But yeah. I fucking love Toby Keith's I Want to Talk About Me. I love that song.
Makes sense.
It's not a real country song, but I still love that song because it's funny.
Sense.
And I have no idea if there's any way to reproduce.
Oh, you want me to sing a Toby Keith song?
No, he
I don't care.
He yodels.
Hang on, I got to tighten this.
No, do you can do one of yours. Let's see. We'll figure this out.
Let's see.
We'll get.
Just tighten that up. I don't know. I wrote a song. Let's see.
Do one of your songs.
Turn this thing on. Can I sing an old country song?
Yes.
I mean, I've written a bunch of songs, but I would call them all new country songs. You don't ever beat the old stuff if you're a guy like me. It's just never. Nashville was built on traditions, man. So we got people in here drinking. How many people are drinking? Hold it up. You know what they say about Nashville? Nashville's a drinking town with a music problem. Can I get a hell yep? All right. 1979. Go one more up. My favorite country singer of all time, Adam. I call him the George Jones of our generation. His name was John Anderson. Is John Anderson. Because nobody ever sounded like John Anderson, and like nobody ever sounded like George Jones. So I'll sing you a song about drinking, but being careful when you leave. It goes like this. Well, I heard it on the radio in 6 o'clock news. They said you better not drive if you get on the booze. The sheriff was on TV shaking his hand. Said we're really cracking down. You better understand if you get on the whiskey. If you get on the whiskey, yeah. Son, if you get on the whiskey, let somebody else drive. Well, 48 hours is a long time to kill in a room full of drunks surrounded by steel. Hell's all they serve in a metro bar. So don't be drinking if you're driving your car and you get on the whiskey. Son, if you get on the whiskey, yeah. Hey, if you get on the whiskey, let somebody else drive. Oh, now if you get on the whiskey, sing it. Hey, if you get on the whiskey, yeah. Sing it. If you get on the whiskey, come on. Let somebody else drive. Hey, oh yeah, can I get a yeehaw to Nashville?
Wow. Now, John's got one about texting and driving that I know. No, it's a very dangerous. It's important.
It's a big topic.
Let's...
It's a pressing matter.
Thank you, man. That was fantastic. All right, so you want to hang out? We'll do some news and strum the guitar a little.
I'm current.
We don't care. Gina Ball, do you want to do some? You want to do some news?
Let's do it.
The
news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Yeah, I'm going to have a shot of your whiskey, John.
Yes, we are.
Because it makes me funnier for the late show. What's it called? It's called it's Redneck Riviera Whiskey. And this is it says Granny Rich Reserve.
That's right. That's my Granny Rich Reserve. 10,000 stores all over the U.S., redneckriviera.com, and we give 10% back to the Folds of Honor, who puts kids through college who lost a parent in combat. That whiskey's now funded over 110 college scholarships in 2 years.
Wow. Nice. Well, I'll do a shot.
Booyah!
One more scholarship.
Hey, let me see that.
Oh, that's
hey,
good.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, here's to you. I'm going to drink right after you, Mr. Mayor. Here's to
got a little bit of a.
Here's to baseball next weekend, guys. Baseball.
It's got a little chocolatey flavor to it. It's good.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah. Very nice. Very smooth.
Yes, it is very smooth.
All right, but remember, texting and driving. Sorry. All right. Go ahead, Gina. What do we got in the news?
Well, I imagine this crowd is pretty familiar with the group Lady Antebellum. Mm-hmm. And they say they've had their eyes open to injustices, inequalities, and biases that black people have faced. And they're responding in a big way. They changed their name. They're dropping the Antebellum, and now they're just going by Lady A. The country trio says they're deeply sorry for the pain their name has caused and for anyone who's felt unsafe, unseen, or undervalued.
Well, wait a minute. I find Lady problematic, you know, because that's binary.
That's right.
It should be they, A.
They,
yeah. They.
Right?
They.
They.
I mean, if we're going to keep going here... I know you feel threatened by the lady part, John. We're both old-fashioned that way. So, they, A.
That's really good. Now, the irony of this, you know, changing your name because you don't want to, you know, your name to stand for oppression or anything like this, there already is a singer who goes by Lady A. She's a gospel singer. But I don't know that she's going to win this one. I think the Lady Antebellum group may have spoken.
Adam, it's like when Tom Brady goes to the Buccaneers and someone else is wearing number 12 and they got to work out a deal, you know what I mean?
Oh,
Brady's
right.
Got to pay up $50,000.
Right, got to buy that. You got to buy that number. Off
or you got to go straight Vanessa L. Williams. Mm. Sometimes you just got to change it up.
Yes, or the band Better Than Ezra, because the band wanted to call themselves Ezra. And there was another band called Ezra, so they named themselves Better Than Ezra.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's good.
So Lady A is going to pivot to Fuck Lady A?
Yes, Fuck Lady A.
But that's not where all the changes stop. So in a collaboration with the Producers Guild of America, the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences has also pledged to create a task force to develop new representation and inclusion standards for the Oscar eligibility by the end of the month. So this is with the mission of making the award ceremony and reflect more diversity in the film community. So the organization didn't mention what exactly they're going to do and what these standards look like. The only thing we know is the group did change one thing. Rather than there being 5 to 10 Best Picture candidates, there will now just straight up be 10 Best Picture candidates each year that will receive a nod. And it's a move that could possibly...
I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
So here's what we are. So the United States is a meritocracy. We like excellence. And the reason we love the Super Bowl and the reason, like, we were talking about this on the podcast a few weeks back. Like, if you think about the ratings for the Super Bowl in the mid-70s and the ratings for the Oscars in the mid-70s, the Oscars may have rated better than the Super Bowl, or they were about the same, or whatever it is. Now the Super Bowl gets 65 million people, and the Oscars gets whatever a rerun of One Tree Hill got on the CNN network, right? I mean, it gets lower every year, right? Because we like a meritocracy. And what is the Super Bowl? The Super Bowl is a goddamn meritocracy. It's like, hey, there's 11 black dudes on the defensive side of the ball, and that's because they're the best players in the league and on that team. And if there's one white dude, well, then he's the best safety on that team. But we know, well, let's face it, He's not an outside linebacker. It's a strong safety. He's probably not a weak safety. He's not a lockdown cover corner. All right, let's not get into the weeds here. The point is this. He's an overachiever.
Scrappy.
So he's 110%. Best player on Stanford. He's scrappy. They didn't think he could. Yeah, okay. The point is this. We'll put him on the possession receivers. The point is this. It's a meritocracy. When you watch, the reason we love the Super Bowl is because we believe and know that the best players are on that field. When you start fucking around with the meritocracy, then you start fucking with our brains, then we're not sure anymore. So you've nominated these 10 films, but we don't know why anymore. See, we used to think, well, it's the best films. Now we're starting to wonder, is it have to do with this? Is it because a woman directed it or an African-American starred in it or what's it, LGBT? Like, what's going on? And once you put that question mark on our head, we stop listening. The ratings go down. Because we want the best. And they don't understand what they're doing to their brand. When they start massaging that, they're fucking with their brand. And by the way, they got rid of the host because there's no such thing as a human being that doesn't have something in their past. They're always digging up something, some Twitter, some old TV show they did. A joke they made in their past. So we're not going to have a host anymore.
After
we're
also Gervais smoked it, man.
Gervais was awesome. Right. We literally had to outsource our host. We had to go
import it
to Nazi England to find a host. We could not find an American worthy of hosting our shows. We got Gervais in, and the point is we get rid of the host because there's no such thing as we need squeaky clean and no history whatsoever, and then we've gotten rid of the meritocracy part, and now the Oscars aren't even a thing anymore. Does anyone know what film won the best film last year or the year before? What was it?
Parasite.
Parasite, right. Foreigners coming in here with their made-up language. Hey, I'm not saying it's not real to them. I'm saying it's not real to me. And I'm an American. That's what counts. So who knows what they were saying was even on the print underneath them. We don't know. Have you guys investigated? No, you haven't. They could have been talking shit about your moms. They could have been calling your mom a cunt the entire time and then putting the plot line underneath them. You don't know? We'll never know. Thank you. I need another shot. That's right. That's right. It's a serious situation.
Adam, you're 100% right about America being a meritocracy. Look no further than Celebrity Apprentice. The best man always wins.
God damn it.
John Rich won.
I got
You and I were both on that show.
John Rich
won.
That's
right. That's right. Oh, shit.
I know, right?
God damn it.
That's why I made the joke.
I know. Sorry.
Adam, you were totally fantastic. You're so hilarious. Good guy. Good people.
Yeah. Wait, what season were you on?
I was on season 11. I won. Did you win, or where did you
No.
win?
Far from it.
No. Ooh, wow. We had a...
It's a little elbow there.
We had like a tie for eighth place, me and Mario Andretti or something. We got kicked off in bulk. Not Mario. I got Michael Andretti. Me and Michael Andretti both were asked to leave at the same time. But you won.
I did. I don't know how, but... I got in there and I played for St. Jude Children's Hospital, which is a good thing to mention.
Meritocracy, my friend. Yep. All right. Sorry, Gene. I'm sorry for getting angry.
No. Hey, never apologize for that. Cancel culture, not over just yet. We've talked about Cops getting the boot, Live PD getting the boot. And now there's been an op-ed piece in the Rolling Stone about canceling Olivia Benson from Law & Order SVU, Special Victims Unit.
What'd she do?
Specifically Olivia Benson. So writer E.J. Dixon said in the article that Olivia always fights for and believes victims, which is a marked contrast to real-life law enforcement officials, but that her record on convicting sexual offenders is abysmal. Well, John Reporter then suggested that the desire to see Olivia Benson as nothing but a hero is itself problematic, and that in order for the system to change, everything needs a reset, including Olivia Benson, the television character.
Wow.
She doesn't have a high enough conviction rate on the show?
On the show that she plays a character in. And he did mention Mariska Hargitay, the actress. Wonderful, wonderful person, but character too good. Too
so
angelic.
Like, where are we going to be in 3 years? Like op-ed pieces about, I find the car from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang problematic.
Oh, we've already done that with the General Lee.
Yeah, we got rid of the General Lee. Oh, my God, if they get rid of Burt Reynolds Trans Am, I'm going to fucking kill myself. I will fucking kill myself if they get rid of that T-top Trans Am.
I have one in my garage.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do.
I will kill myself inside of your T-top. What is your... You have a like a 79, 78?
Yeah, I have the Smoking the Bandit Edition Pontiac Trans. I looked for it for 10 years.
Country singer with a Trans Am in his garage? I thought you guys were all Fiat men.
Not this country guy. I still like to burn the old dinosaur bones.
So what you is it a 79?
Yeah.
79, black and gold.
Yep, 400, 6.6, 4 in the
liter,
floor.
Engine 400 cubic inch.
Hurst shifter. No air conditioning, original 8-track, CB radio.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Where'd you get that thing?
I found it. The original owner had it, and he'd kept it inside its whole life, and he was ready to let go of it, and I bought it about 15 years ago.
Did it have an 8-track that came with it?
No, but I'm a weird guy. I have a collection of 8-tracks, so the first thing I put in was Jerry Reed. Eastbound down, son. Yeah. I mean, what else are you going to play?
Hold on. Sing When You're Hot, You're Hot.
When you're hot, you're hot.
Yeah,
when you're not, you're not. I mean, you can't beat Jerry Reed in a Pontiac Trans Am.
Come on. Do two chords of When You're Hot, You're Hot.
I'll see ya. Eastbound and down, rolling up and trucking. We're going to show them what they say can't be done.
Woo!
We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Watch out, watch old bandit run.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't love Burt Reynolds, get the hell out of my town, right? Come on. Burt Reynolds, baby. God rest his soul.
I fucking love Jerry Reed. But his big hit was When You're Hot. I didn't know this.
Well, Amos Moses. You remember Amos Moses from Jerry Reed?
No. Tell me about it.
Do y'all know Amos Moses? It's your show. I don't know. Can I sing?
No, go ahead.
Well, Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. He hunted alligators for a living. He just knocked him in the head with a stump. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligators down in the swamp, boy. About 45 minutes southeast of Thibodaux, Louisiana. Lived a cat called Doc Mill South and his pretty wife Hannah. Well, they raised up a child that could eat up his weight in groceries. Named him after a man of the cloth. Called him Amos Moses.
Wow.
Yeah, that's Jerry Reed.
That's, you know, Amos Moses, I'm putting you on the spot. It's got a little pork salad Annie.
Oh, yeah.
Them
Cajun pickers, man. I mean, Jerry Reed, if you want a little Nashville history on music, he invented basically what we call chicken picking, which is that that kind of
right.
stuff. Nobody ever really played it like that until Jerry Reed showed up. And like Ricky Skaggs and Vince Gill and Steve Warner and all the great pickers will tell you, when Jerry Reed and Glenn Campbell and some of those guys came through town, you know, the only guy prior to them that had that much impact was Chet Atkins. I mean, that was it. He was a bad man.
I think a lot of people think of him as the actor guy from Smoking the Bandit, but they don't realize...
One of the greatest guitar players ever walked through our town.
Really?
Absolutely.
See, people don't know that.
And, Adam.
Yeah.
I'm glad... John, I'm a country music fan. I'm glad you brought up Vince Gill as a great type of guitarist because my parents were big fans of him back in the 90s, but everyone thought of him as this pretty boy with the pretty voice and all that stuff. He could fucking play, man. He really picked that guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, Nashville wasn't built on people that can't really do it. You know, like part of our thing is, from day one, Grand Ole Opry, you had to walk in there barefoot on a wood floor and let it rip over AM 650, which is 50,000 watts of AM power blasting all over, you know, the Southeast and through the Midwest even. And if you didn't have the goods, they didn't invite you back. And now, that's how it still is. You got to be able to really sit up and just, like you just say, play me some Jerry Reed. Well, by God, if I can't play this man some Jerry Reed, I need to just get the hell out of here right now. Because I'm not real if I can't do that, right? But I could play a little bit.
No, you did. And I know what it's like. Like, when you're hot, like we are. Like, because people don't think I'm funny because, you know, the matinee idol, good looks and everything. But they don't understand we can bring it as well. Don't let the facade fool you. And I think that's what you're talking about with Vince Gill. Sorry, Gina Grad. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, well, since we're talking about the greats and we're talking about the great state of Tennessee, this is very, very important. A statue of former KKK leader and Confederate soldier Nathan Bedford Forrest that has been in Tennessee Capitol for over 40 years could be replaced by statues of Dolly Parton.
Oh.
Republican State Rep. Jeremy Fiverr said he could think of 100 other people.
What if we just did this? What if we just... I don't know if this is going to work or not, but couldn't we just put an giant inflatable Oprah on every building over 7 stories? In every city. You know what I mean? If it's above 7 stories, there's a giant Oprah, and she's just kind of looking down on everybody. We'll mix it up. We'll throw Gale on some of the smaller buildings. And everyone will just, we'll just live in a world that's just governed by a giant inflatable Oprah. And then we don't have to argue about the statues anymore. And we'll take all the statues. We'll put in giant inflatable Oprah over them. So she actually engulfs them. And then we won't have to do it. But the Dolly statue I like. But then they don't have Dolly statues. They have to do Dolly statues. They have to pick an era for Dolly, right? We go in 70s Dolly. We go in 90s Dolly. We go in today's Dolly. What Dolly
do
we go
in? Why not a little from column A, a little from column B? A little pure and simple. We do a little Tennessee Mountain Home. We can do all the Dollies.
Right. We'll do all the
I think the Porter Wagner version of the Dolly era. Mm. I mean, guys, I don't know. What do you think about the Dolly of about 1978, 79?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, we don't have, all the statues are old, like, you know, Civil War era, but we don't have enough women statues out there. And I really don't give a shit, but I feel like... I feel like that would get an applause, you know, the hot chick, I could ingratiate. We need more women out there. When I take my daughter out for a walk, she needs to see more women out there. And Dolly be a good place for the pigeons to hang out, you know, because she's got that...
Do you know what's true about what you just said? There is a statue of Dolly from all of her work with the Imagination Library, and she said her daddy would come out every single day and wipe the pigeon shit off of her statue. So don't you worry about that. It'll be taken care of. That's
love. By the way, that wasn't pigeon shit. I was drunk. I'm sorry, but I like a nice bosom on a statue.
Oh, boy.
Sorry. Guilty as charged. I know it sounds weird. So I'm another shot of this whiskey. I can't.
Oh, boy.
Get you some Granny Ritz, baby.
It makes me funnier.
I do have to ask Mr. Rich a question because Dolly Parton is my number 100 favorite celebrity saint angel that exists in humanity. Have you had the pleasure of meeting her?
I have a couple of times. First time I ever met her was in an airport, and it was like really quick, but it's Dolly Parton, you know, and you're so just blown away that it's actually her. And I think you used a good word for her, saint, you know.
Yeah.
She's just, you know, you're talking about somebody who's written thousands upon thousands of songs. She still writes thousands of songs. I don't think she ever got into music to do anything other than just to make great music. You know, when Gatlinburg caught on fire a few years ago and a lot of it burned, Dolly had this massive fundraiser for that and invited Big and Rich. We came and we got to meet her for that as well. She's, I would be fine to have Dolly Parton statues on the top of every building in America.
Yeah,
to
amen.
Remind them what's great about America. Dolly Parton. Amen. It don't get no better than Dolly Parton.
No. Oh,
Dolly for president. Dolly
I agree. President. Hey, Gina, is her first name, I mean, her real name Dolly? Is it? What's
yeah.
on her birth certificate? Is it?
Dolly.
It's not.
Her name is Dolly.
That's it. Gina not short for anything. There's nothing that comes well, after
I mean,
it.
No, I mean, she's Dolly Parton. And, I mean, you know that every time I see the video, because I've brought it up more times than I care to mention, her song Backwoods Barbie literally makes me cry. Everything she says, it's not cheesy when Dolly says it. Everything is real and amazing, except for the boobs and the wigs.
Yeah, all right. Totally authentic, except for everything above the waist. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grant.
All right. Well, let's see here. What could follow that? You know what? I think a good PSA. People are starting to get out there more. Businesses are opening up. People are getting back together. So I think this is probably pretty important. A new health survey suggests that couples should have sex while wearing face masks to reduce the transmission of COVID-19 from one person to the other. They actually did a power ranking of the type of sexual stuff you should get into.
And Gina, I like this. I like this because
yes, you do.
Normally when I'm banging my wife, her throw-up gets all over the bed. Yeah. It's like she just... It's all over the comforter, the duvet.
Yeah.
It's a goddamn
and then
mess.
The snickering. The snickering yeah. just gets
you don't want to see the smug.
But this
smirk.
Could contain it. This could contain
right.
it. You're right. That's a good idea. I like where your head's at.
So there is a power ranking with one very important bonus honorary mention. So the way they would prefer you gratify yourself is, first of all, abstinence. Boring.
Right.
Next, masturbation. Next, phone or video sex, but they do want you to be careful of not getting extorted with revenge porn.
Oh, yeah.
Next is sex with someone you live with, hopefully not related to. Mm. And the worst thing you could do is sex with someone you don't live with. So
wow.
another study suggested...
Hold on, Gina. I yeah. think you left out the worst.
Yeah.
Sex with an elderly parent.
Oh, that's true.
I'm sorry I had to bring that yeah. up, but they are at risk, people.
They are at risk. Yeah.
God bless them, but they're at risk. So
you're absolutely
if anyone's
right.
thinking about sex with an elderly parent, just please
yeah.
wait
they
till after
hip,
the COVID. Wait till after. Let it pass. Let
yeah.
it pass. Sorry, go ahead.
You're absolutely right. Another study, though they didn't use the two words that everybody wanted them to use, it's basically what they were implying. They said you should have sex through some sort of hole. So one of the researchers at an esteemed medical clinic is recommending
I always have sex
glory holes.
Some sort of hole.
Well,
they
I feel
would
like
you to use a glory hole to keep yourself safe.
Weren't the Hasidic Jews way ahead of the curve here with the sheet? And also,
indeed we were.
I like the Lucite, and I'll tell you why. 3/4-inch ply. We've talked about this before. 3/4-inch ply is going to cut into 40% of my dick. I don't know. I'm not a mathematician. I can't extrapolate it, but that's a good piece of my cock. Where the Lexan, that's 3/16. It's all gravy after that.
Amen.
And not brown gravy. So don't go with the ply glory hole. Go with the Lexan glory hole, but if you go with ply, go with the marine grade, because any builders out here? Anyone know the difference between CDX and good one side? Okay, I used to be a carpenter, that's all. I'm just saying, the stuff's got a little heft to it. It really cuts back on the dick. Hey, sorry, but John, you know the official way to measure your dick? It's a lot of people.
No.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. Do you have a song about my dick? A lot of people use the, you know, they use the measuring stick and they get it all pushed up in there and they get some.
I don't
cheaters.
Have a song about your dick, but I did write a song about Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, you did? Oh, we're going to, should we hear
later.
That? Oh, hear it later. We'll hear it backstage. So... The way to officially measure your dick so you're not cheating. Because, again, a lot of people do the thing with the yardstick and they envelop it. All right, so here it is. It's the way I measure my dick, and I think it would work universally. you measure center of the anus. Center, no cheating. Center to just past the tip. Just past.
Adam.
Don't get greedy. You
once
cannot
around
get
the balls.
Greedy.
Around the balls.
Oh,
once
yeah, sorry. Yeah, you do it with the yarn. Center of the anus. Once around the balls. Just past the tip. And then you lay, but you don't cheat. You can't stretch it out. Okay? You have to lay that down on a yardstick. And whatever it says, that's it. Mine was 29 inches. Like, but I'm being honest. You know?
Well, this is helpful for John. The other guy's known as big.
Let's go out on a big joke from Bald Brian. That was a great joke, Bald. All right. Bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. Last live read. True Niagen. I hope you guys are getting yourself some of this stuff. NAD boosters from 40 to 60 human beings experience a 50% decline in NAD. Leaves the... Here's the point. You get older, you stop producing all the stuff you need to produce, your body starts getting weak, and the next thing you know, you're in the grave, and that's why there's True Niagen. Shannon Sharp takes his stuff. He's in pretty good shape. Dr. Drew takes his stuff. He's in really good shape as well. And they're backed by clinical research and regulatory approvals. True Niagen, I've been on this stuff for about 4 months, and it works. I actually packed it with me and brought it out here to Nashville. Stress and the immune system, lack of exercise, overeating, all the stuff you don't want to do, and NAD can be hurt by it. And that's where True Niagen comes in. Support cellular defense, repair with True Niagen, and visit True Niagen, TRUNIAGEN.com. Use the code Adam, get 20% off any 3 month plus supply until June 30th. This is good stuff. It's good science. You guys should all get on it. I'm on it. Drew's on it. True Niagen. All right. I want to thank Caitlin Bristow for coming out here tonight. Off the Vine is the name of her podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast One. John Rich, of course. Big and Rich. New single, Stay Home, available now on Spotify and Apple Music as well. And the whiskey you can find, which is damn good, by the way. Got a little chocolatey finish to it. RedneckRiviera.com. Shoot him a tweet, at John Rich. Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Caitlin Bristow, John Rich, Gina Grad, Bald Brian saying, mahalo!
Well, there you go. Another fantastic live show. But good news. We have chapter one of my audiobook on deck, waiting to come up to plate and hit a home run for y'all. So you guys will get an exclusive. The book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, comes out today. The audiobook is always different because I always riff. So it's kind of good to get both. I know that sounds self-serving, but I mean it. So chapter one of my new audiobook is coming in a second. First, Mercari. Have stuff you don't use, cluttering the house, kid's baseball glove, doesn't fit anymore, dress you only wore once. How about an old phone in the drawer? Mercari, selling app. Makes it fast and easy to sell almost anything. You just take a few pictures of it, you add a description, and your item is listed. Mercari will even email you a shipping label when it sells. No meetups, no hassles, no weirdos in the park, just Mercari. And personally, it doesn't end up in the landfill. You know what I mean? Like, don't throw this stuff out. Sell it and give it a good home. Let somebody else use that dress, that mitt, that phone, that whatever that you're done with. Let them use it and you get compensated. 600,000 plus reviews and 4.8 star rating, by the way. Don't let the stuff go to waste. You can do almost anything, sell almost anything, and you can buy it as well. It's a two-way street. That's Mercari.com. That's M-E-R-C-A-R-I. Mercari, the selling app. Chapter 1. Support dogs and the death of dignity. Anyone who listens to my podcasts or has read my books knows I don't support the animals who have support animals. I traveled the entire country with Dr. Drew in the 90s and never saw one dog on a plane. It was not allowed, and therefore people didn't do it. Our biology hasn't changed that much since I was on MTV. People didn't start suffering from a new illness stemming from dramatically low levels of dog dander in their system. We just got softer. But since the time I wrote about this and President Me, people taking their dogs on flights, much like the planes they're on, took off. I wrote about two dogs fighting at my feet in first class. Since then, I'm sure we've had more aerial dog fights than Pappy Boyington. It used to be just white chicks with lap dogs. But no more. For the record, and to let me garner some goodwill with the brothers before I bash them in upcoming chapters, this is the domain of Whitey. I've never seen a black or brown person with an emotional support dog. Maybe someday there'll be a Jackie or Jack A. Robinson who'll break down the color barrier on emotional support dogs, but for now, this is a first world honky problem. This virus has now spread from batty white broads to dudes. I was dejected in 2015 when I did my daily due diligence of watching TMZ, because I'm an intellectual heavyweight, and saw Henry Cavill, the star of Superman, leaving LAX with his emotional support mutt. It's a bird. It's a plane. Was Superman getting off it with his fucking dog? Superman. You couldn't find a guy in better shape than the guy who plays Superman. I understand if it's an aging ingenue like Jane Fonda with a Maltese in her purse, but this is an able-bodied 32-year-old male action star. No one requires a service dog less than this guy. This is Superman. Forget about the dog. He doesn't need the goddamn plane. Then in 2016 at O'Hare in Chicago, I saw a woman with a schnauzer named Rhino. I know its name because I asked. Note, if I ever come up to you in an airport and act interested, prepare to be podcast fodder. She told me his name was Rhino because he charges everyone. Sure, just what you're looking for in the aisle of a 737. She then proceeded to tell me he was an emotional support animal. At some point, we crossed over from service dogs to support dogs. It even had a little vest that read ESA. Eventually, the vest will just read, F-U. She then proceeded to say she went through a rough patch emotionally, and Rhino made it better. I'm not taking that away from her. I had a cat named Norman that was far and away the best part of my childhood. Anyone who knows my podcast has heard all the tales of the pups I've had, Lotsy, Molly, and now Philly Cheesesteak. But I leave Phil at home when I fly. He's barely housebroken. He's definitely not plane broken. He'd probably break the plane if he got on the plane. He's such a fat ass. Phil, by the way, is the dog laying across my lap on the jacket of the book. Later that year at the St. Louis airport, I saw a very able-bodied woman traveling with not one, but two service dogs. Do you have double anxiety? One's not enough? No special vest on either one of them, by the way. She didn't even attempt to make it look like she had trained these dogs or that they provided any service other than to this bitch's ego. Eventually, Cruella DeVille is going to get on a Delta flight with 101 fucking Dalmatians. I've only seen it escalate since then. Mark my words, the next major plane crash we have, they're going to count the dogs in the news story like they separate the passengers and the crew. It'll be reported as 145 passengers, 6 crew members, and 11 dogs. And every dumb chick I know will weep more for the dogs than she will for the crew or passengers. Like you'll go, 6 crew members, 145 passengers, 11 dogs.
Poor dogs.
Yeah. That's the kind of wiring we need running things, right? Be great to get more of that.
More of this.
We need more of that in higher positions so we can really get some decisions made. An offshoot of this, and definitely the domain of the middle-aged, middle-class white chick, is FCHD. You'll find out what that stands for in a few sentences. Last year, I was walking Phil around the neighborhood. It was not blistering hot, but it was warm. I made a stop at the supermarket to get an iced tea and did what a normal human being does. Left Phil tied up outside with his leash around a pole. Because like planes, dogs have no fucking business in a supermarket. I came out 12 minutes later and some good Samaritan had given Phil a bowl of water. By the way, that person probably stepped over six homeless people to get my lazy dog a bowl of water. And I knew it had to be a chick, because this is the third time it had happened, and it had all been women. If I walk Phil around my neighborhood at noon on a Tuesday, women will pull over in their SUVs and offer him water. It happened on two separate occasions. They didn't offer me a bottle of water. They offered the dog a bottle of water. It's not like they were out walking their dog. They got out of SUVs and ran toward Phil with H2O. I believe this is a classifiable disorder that should be published in medical and psychological journals. Feminine Canine Hydration Disorder, FCHD, pronounced fucked, is a type of dementia in which the brain of the female deteriorates beginning at the age of 38, and the only remaining fully functional portion is the part concerned with a dog's water intake. I can speak about this affliction because it's literally been a pox on my house. When it comes to ranking her effectiveness in life, such as cleaning, taking care of me, or cooking, my wife would not get 5 stars. But when it comes to being on top of Phil's water bowl, you would need to add a 6-star. My wife suffers from FCHD, and I'm a survivor. A Tale of Terriers, Terrazzo, and Turds. We're enabling this shit, and now the shit's on the ground. Now I'm seeing service animal relief area signs in airports all around the country. No smoking and no shampoo over 3.5 ounces, but there's a place for your pooch to drop a deuce. That's if they even make it to the relief area. In 2018, I was traveling to Cleveland to do a little stand-up, and on my way to the gate at LAX, I came across a squatty Guatemalan woman on her hands and knees scrubbing the floor. She had cones out, gloves on, and the mop and bucket nearby. At first, I didn't think anything of it, but as I kept walking toward my gate, I saw more and more mess. I was looking at a half acre of shit-streaked terrazzo. Some dog had the runs and sprayed it every 20 feet throughout the whole goddamn terminal. This covered well over 150 feet. I wouldn't even be able to get a tape measure out to determine the damage. I'd have to bust out one of those wheels the CHP uses to measure skid marks at an accident. Good thing I have hypervigilance disorder, because I saw multiple people with their earbuds in, looking at their phones, and not notice they just wheeled their Samsonite through doggy diarrhea. I doubled back to talk to the Guatemalan airport worker and asked her if it was dog shit, as I suspected. She laughed and said it was, which pissed me off because I want everyone to be as outraged about this as I am, especially the person that's cleaning up the mess from some asshole's dog's asshole. It should be clear by now, I don't want your dog at the airport at all. Never mind if it has the runs. But let's just move past that. I'll even give you a pass on the first salvo from your dog's tuchus. I know from owning Phil that dogs eat things they shouldn't eat and shit where they shouldn't shit. But on the second shot of shit squirt, that becomes your responsibility. You have to clean your pooch's poop. But we've established you're a narcissist by virtue of the fact that you brought your dog to the airport in the first place. So of course you're not going to think it's your job to clean up your little princess's turd explosion. That's for some serf to do. Just imagine if this happened on the plane. They'd be forced to turn it around and have an emergency landing, ruining the day of all the sane people just trying to get to Phoenix. If we had a chart that showed the amount of emotional support dogs on planes, it would go from nothing 15 years ago, climb slowly to a few 10 years ago, then spike in the past 5 years. If you had a chart that also tracked fistfights with flight attendants, attempting to open emergency doors mid-flight while high on prescriptions, defecating on drink carts, and generally doing shit that diverts flights, it would be an exact correlation because the root cause is the same. More emotionally unstable dickheads on planes. We need to fix this problem. If your psyche is so compromised that you can't fly without your dog, you should be forced to take a bus. It's called Greyhound for a reason. Get your hound and get on the fucking bus. Menagerie Airlines. Since 2015, it's gone insane. We've moved from carrying on simple domestic house pets to exotic creatures. Planes are becoming arks. Fucking Noah's walking down the aisle with two of every creature on Earth. You would have thought that around the time the donkey was replaced by the pickup truck, that we no longer need service animals. It'd be interesting to get a time machine and talk to a farmer from 1870 and say, 150 years from now, we'll still be using service animals, but not for plowing a field or turning a grindstone. And then 1870s farmer would say, oh, so it'll just be an oxen pulling a wagon across the Great Plains? Well, it'll be for travel, but not quite. You know those hysterical women you give laudanum to and lock them in a sanitarium? In the future, we give them turkeys, pigs, and miniature horses to make them feel better and let them roam about the country in magical flying machines. His head would explode. Every flight has become a barnyard in the sky. Here's just a partial list of animals that have been on planes and thus in the news. Snake. I've actually seen more than one of these in the news. I sleep like a baby knowing that anyone who has an emotional support snake will eventually have the snake kill them in their sleep. That thing you hand-feed mice to will eventually turn on you in the middle of the night for no reason. Turkeys and ducks. In President Me and later in my movie Road Hard, I did a bit about my service pelican Gilligan, who would walk the aisle scooping up and gulping down all the service chihuahuas. Little did I know that a mere 2 years later, my farcical comedy bit would come to life with people bringing their own fowl onto flights. Though you could have a nice who's-on-first-style bit if the flight was heading to Turkey. Pig. There was a news story about a U.S. Airways flight that thankfully removed a pig. They also made her take her emotional support hog off as well. See what I did there? This crackpot had a 70-pound porker on a leash, but had to get off the flight when it shit in the aisle before they could even take off. Unless the plane ends up crashing into the Andes with you and your soccer team aboard, and the pig delays by a couple of days the descent into cannibalism, it has no fucking business on a plane. Miniature pony. Permit me to get on my high horse and talk a little shit about your low horse. The notion of breeding a miniature horse flies in the face of horse breeding in general. These are supposed to be tall, majestic creatures. They're meant to be barrel raced or pulling a Budweiser wagon through a small town, not pulling a lesbian who's filed her 7th slip and fall lawsuit this year through an airport. It doesn't make sense. No one is trying to breed Manute Bull and Brad Williams. Google it. And by the way, if you bought the Kindle, you can just click a link right now. Where are you going that you can bring a horse with you? You're eventually going to get off the plane, right? Are you going to hail an Uber and stuff the pygmy pony in the trunk? Which Holiday Inn are you going to that allows Tiny Trigger to sleep in your room? There's no lawn jockey for you to hitch up your fun size foal to while you take in a Broadway show. Horses are meant to be traveled upon, not with. I have a novel idea. How about you get on your horse and ride it to your destination so I can enjoy my flight and not feel like I'm at a 4-H event? Wallaby. A teen from Portland had a wallaby named Momo to deal with panic attacks. I know, shocking, right? Usually the people of Portland are known for their stout, blue-collar grittiness. She would carry it in a Baby Bjorn-style pouch. When I was a kid, my parents wouldn't let me have a dog. This girl's got a fucking marsupial. The only upside to this is that when someone slips and it's shit at the airport, you could offer them $10,000 to name the animal it came from. Given 100 guesses, they'd never get it. Only in this pathetic era could we potentially have that game show. I'd call it Name That Duke. Because these people are nuts, they can have anything for an emotional support animal. We're not that far from, this is my emotional support abalone. I don't fly anywhere without Shelly. Here's my point. This is more than a pet peeve, pun intended. It's not just about dogs. The dogs are just the canary in the coal mine, if I can mix my animal metaphors. They're an eerie harbinger of the worst to come. As you'll see, I don't have a lot of optimism for our culture. And the support animal stuff is a leading indicator. The increase in support dogs on planes is directly proportional to the decrease of dignity in our society. People are sad, pathetic, and weak. I've never understood why people advertise that they're so soft. I would rather cut off my dick and my pinky and sew my pinky where my dick goes and my dick where my pinky goes than admit I'm so emotionally weak that I need a pet in order to board a plane. What I've come to realize is that in today's society, being a victim, overcoming racism, and being brave and fearless are currency. In the 70s, it was let your freak flag fly. In the 2020s, it's let your weak flag fly. It's a competition to see who's more oppressed and who faces more adversity. And it's a competition where everyone is a loser, especially our society. This is all mental weakness and lack of character. I guarantee if you offered most of these baddie broads a voucher for a free flight to San Jose, they'd leave their pooches behind in a second. So how fucking necessary can they be? Some of these losers would do it for an extra bag of cashews. That wouldn't work with pancreatic cancer. A voucher for a first-class flight to Denver isn't going to make that go away. But these people and the softness they have in their heads that causes them to need the dogs in their laps to be able to fly can go away as quickly as the farts coming out of said dogs' asses evaporate into the coach cabin. Speaking of cabin air, what about smokers on planes? Why aren't we catering to them like we cater to people with dog addictions? We all know there's no tampering with, disabling, or destroying the smoke detectors on flights. But what about guys like the velvet-throated Mike Dawson, the announcer for my podcast, who needs a hit of nicotine every few minutes? He's shit out of luck, because we've decided that vaping is bad and dogs are good. You could easily argue that medically, Dawson needs that nicotine in his lungs more than some dingbat needs Benji on her lap. Yeah, Dawson. He's forced to wear Nicoderm, while some chick is flying with a Pachyderm. He'd never be allowed to have an emotional support camel. In 2018, I was flying Southwest from Burbank to Sacramento. At Burbank Airport, you walk out onto the tarmac rather than on a jetway. It's a classy place. I saw a guy with a medium-sized dog on a leash, no handle, no special vest. He briskly walked across the tarmac and got on the plane. There wasn't a single thing wrong with this guy. The kicker was that a woman in a wheelchair trailed behind him. This doggy daddy douchebag didn't even have the dignity to fake a limp. He just strolled right past a woman with a clear disability. Actually, I stand corrected. This guy did have a disorder. A personality disorder. It's not just the pet owners that have lost their dignity. It used to be that you'd have to get a note from your doctor, even if that doctor was a quack or just didn't feel like dealing with your crazy ass. So he wrote a note just to get you to shut up. Now there's online doctors who'll write that note without ever meeting you or your mutt. It's brazen. I've seen ads for ESA letters for both housing and travel. Just $98. Is that what your dignity's worth, Dr. Nick Riviera? I would rather hang out with a doctor who specializes in penis enlargement and only uses cells from cadavers of veterans who died in combat than one of these licensed psychologists who sold his soul to supply letters to fruitcake so they can bring their pets on planes. People who give blowjobs for crack have more dignity than these assholes. At least the crack whores didn't pay for medical school. We're so eager to part with our dignity for a couple of bucks and some convenience. I'm not saying this just for me or for society. I'm saying it for all you weak-minded people. You are declaring from on high, literally 30,000 feet high, that you're so precariously wired and emotionally fragile that you need a dog with you at all times to make you feel better. You've externalized the problem. You've given a creature that eats its own shit the power over whether or not you can handle life. That's not good for you in the long run. That's not going to teach you resilience or how to overcome your fears. It's only going to reinforce them and continue to make you feel like a victim. You don't need a therapist to write you a note so you can bring a petting zoo on a plane. You need that therapist to do their fucking job and help you get better. All anyone has is their dignity. The one thing you have your whole life, the one thing that doesn't have to change as you get older and fatter, is dignity. That is your constant. If you give that up, you're fucked. Your dog may be carry-on, but you gate-checked your dignity.
The long wait is over. Adam Carolla's newest masterpiece, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, Navigating Our All-Woke, No-Joke Culture, is now available everywhere. Pick up the audiobook, grab the Kindle, and a hard copy. You'll find all the links at adamcarolla.com.